smooth tones.
Yeah. How's everybody doing?
Haley, this is a random thing, but Haley's voice dropped so much when she got pregnant for the first time. She never would have been able to do that.
No.
That double ping pong, like, that would never come out now. You got the smooth tones.
My voice has just dropped.
That's hey, double ping pong?
Could you slide up close to your loved one and listen to some double ping pong?
The random side note.
It's like, what's that radio station? Haley.
Oh,
what's Delilah?
Delilah. Oh, good old Delilah. Is she still around?
Yes, she is, and she just got a TikTok.
She died. I mean, yes.
What? She did?
Yeah. Got a TikTok.
Are you died still culture, living? But now she got a TikTok, so she's wow. back.
She's back.
Making a new
I love it
off
when they
TikTok.
Make a comeback.
Isn't it the best? It's like the sequels in Disney. Always better than the first one.
Speaking of Disney, you know what I learned today?
What's that?
What? Have you guys watched Wish?
Yeah.
Our kids hate it. They get
don't.
Bored.
Yeah, they don't like it.
We tried to watch it. But the goat is funny.
Yes. Right?
Oh,
it
yes,
has
this
a deep
movie.
Voice.
Yeah. Yeah. And so either way, when I was talking it's about Haley's her smooth voice. Tone, he was like, I can talk. Who know my voice would be this low? But do you know the same guy that does the goat voice is Heihei?
Yes.
In Moana?
Yeah.
What in the world?
I never that guy think is about so the talented. Fact that those characters have voices.
Are humans?
Yeah. Like someone's in a booth doing that.
Yeah.
That's so good. My what favorite, a living.
My favorite thing to look up sometimes, I would say my favorite thing, the thing that I have a vivid memory of looking up is when in Lady and the Tramp, when they do like the dogs like howling in the in the what is it the kennel or where are they? It's like the dog
the
catcher
shop,
shop
yeah,
whatever.
Not the shop.
The pound.
The pound.
There's the word.
The catcher shop.
You can buy all your catchers here. But yeah, the dog pound, and you got all the dogs singing and like harmonizing
boom,
and
boom,
all
boom,
that.
Rough.
Exactly. And so you look up that with all the like the people, and it's just they make the funniest faces.
I love.
They're like
watching
in it.
Voice.
That's
actors.
A good question. Like, if what voice do you think you would do if you could be an animal in a Disney movie? Like, what character would you do?
Oh, I do.
Depends
that.
On what it looks like, I think.
Give me something, I'd do it.
Oh,
you
man.
Wanna do
you
want to
do
not
one?
Right now.
Oh, come
not
on.
Right
Chad,
now.
Chad AI asked them to come
oh,
up
no,
with
no, 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 no. Like, a pre-existing character. Like, what voice would you think you could replicate well?
Oh, we've done that.
Didn't we do that? We did that.
We did.
I did the Mad Hatter voice.
Oh, no, that was just like
any voices.
Any voice, but that would be a funny thing. Like, if you could be a character voice, what character, like, what animal would you be in a Disney movie?
Are you saying what animal do I look like?
Billy goat.
I think I'd be like a bunny rabbit. Like a rabbit.
He would be a rabbit?
No, she said she would
be.
Oh, I was like,
I was just thinking, like, if I could be a character animal.
You don't see it?
Or like a frog. Sorry, I'm still on this thought process.
You think you would be a frog?
I don't know, like a female frog.
No.
You calling me a frog? I'm just
I don't
kidding.
Know.
Back to the wish.
People say she sings like Tiana all the time.
I'm a frog.
She said,
I'm a frog, y'all.
Back to the wish, though. The one thing that bothers me about that movie is that the song that they sing to the wishes, the king, and what's the girl's name?
We didn't even get that far.
I don't know.
But
it's
like-
so it's weird because it's a love song with a man and a woman in it. But they're not singing to each other.
Yes. Oh,
they're singing to the wishes.
That was silly. It was also way too early in the movie to start making me try and care about anyone. And so it was like 10 minutes in and they're like, oh, these wishes. And I'm like, I don't care yet. I don't understand. Who are you?
Make me want it.
Like, yeah, I hate that.
Yeah.
That's like they do better now, but like Sight and Sound. When we went to see like the Jesus.
What is Sight and Sound?
Sight and Sound is like a Christian, it honestly better than Broadway.
Yeah.
90% of the time, even though despite what I'm about to say about them. One of their shows though, they try to put so many musical numbers in the story of Jesus that they gave the guy who had a bunch of demons in him an entire song.
He had the best song.
And it was like, we don't care, dude. We just met you.
He sang a song.
And it wasn't you this whole scene. This is the first time we've heard you. We don't care.
In the live action like show, that's the David we saw. He sings it.
Oh, recording,
was,
you mean?
He was the demoniac. He was the guy. And that's so funny. He sang the song, and so I was in. Oh. I watched it.
I guess that's cool. But like in context, I was like, he just walked on stage and he's singing about how his life's changed. It's like, okay, but
really?
Sounds like it was, I guess. I'll take your word for it. Anyway.
So what are we talking about tonight?
I don't know. What are we, Rob?
You want me to say it?
Go ahead.
Somebody's gonna have to explain it more than I will. We're gonna talk about identity.
Yes.
Miss Haley.
Oh, I was just going to say, essentially, we wanted to just discuss our identity and, like, where culture brings identity and, like, just in general as human beings, how we take identity into heart. And it's just, I mean, it becomes who we are. It's between our work environments, our roles, our parenthood, whatever it is. It becomes so much of us, and I think it's a huge cultural thing where we've just created it and created identity to be such an importance in society. But I think there's a lot of issues that can come with that.
Yeah. So maybe some things that people find their identity in right now. I think you mentioned a couple. Work. Being a specific parent. I say specific because it could be also a father or a mother.
Or of a fur baby. You never know.
Good old fur daddy. yeah, I didn't like it either. But also, like, you can find your identity in today, these days, online, like with like video games and stuff. So you create your own persona in a game, and your identity is more there than it is in real life. Which is a scary thing.
There was an entire show that came out recently, and it was about this woman that was running away from her identity, and she was a con artist, and so she had this opportunity to shift and change who she was. And she did that to essentially gain money and stuff from people to show an empathy or for people to gain sympathy to her and to take her in. And she changed her identity in every situation she was in. But yeah, it's in everything. It's in like our behaviors too. Like people can look at us and like, oh, it's in politics. In
people find their
appearances.
That's good.
It's so much in everything external, usually, like a lot of external things, and even sometimes, like, I think external would be the best way to describe it, because if it's internal behavior, you usually see it externally.
Yeah.
If it is something that someone's struggling with, or somebody likes to do this specific thing, and like, oh, that's the person that does this, that, and the other.
And what that reminds me of is because we know that your true identity should be found on the inside of you, in the sense of Jesus changes you from the inside out, and he shows you who to be, and he works in you to basically understand that it's our goal to just allow him to change the parts of us on the inside that and become the people that he's created us to be. And so it starts on the inside. So all of these things that we're finding identities in are really distractions. Right?
Absolutely.
They're just distractions, which in turn are idols in our lives. Right? Which is another word for it.
You think of people too, and they use a lot of like horoscopes or what's your Enneagram like symbol, and like it almost like limits those people into a category. And then when they're in this category, it almost like excuses poor behavior, or it excuses certain qualities that they think they can't achieve or do. And it's so messed up, in my opinion, because it's like, why would you limit yourself to this specific person that this other person's created? And it's just, you can be in a mind trap with that, because you're like, oh, I'm not going to be friends with that person because that person's an Enneagram 6 or whatever.
She's a Capricorn.
And I can't, and you can't bond with those people or whatever. And that's disunity, 100%. There's no unity in that.
Yeah, the purpose of the church was that it created one race of people that could be together, united in Christ, right? United under Christ and in his teaching, and to become the people that bring God's kingdom to the world. And that doesn't matter what race you're in, what what personality type, none of that.
I remember, because there are things about like personality tests that are useful.
Helpful. 100%, right?
To learn how people might respond to things or how they like to contribute to things and all this other stuff. But I remember as we like even started exploring like personality traits and contribution, ways people like to contribute, I remember like having a couple friends that they took that identity as their limitations and almost would own it to not push themselves to grow.
I'm going to cut you off. Sorry, just really quick. That's what people do with everything.
Yes.
Working out. Working out is good for you, but it becomes about yourself identity. And it can't be your identity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Video games, they're fun. You can play them as entertainment for a little bit, but as soon as you get mindless in it or like you're just stuck in it, it's like a problem. It's your identity. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yes. The idea you do that like with everything.
Yeah, it's a label and it comes with like the works you're doing too. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of what you're doing is... it's showing like people that, oh, you're good at this, you're good at that. And like, if you change or you just switch, it's all of a sudden like, who is that person? And it's sad.
Yeah. As,
we both from agreed.
Both. Both agreed emphatically. But I just remember that as like a big issue that I had because the people that were doing this, that were locking their identity in whatever, like, oh, it's my personality trait.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were locking their like productivity, their efficiency, their, I can't do admin stuff. I'm a dreamer. Like, you know, this type of thing.
Yeah.
The problem that I had is I was in all the same categories as my friends that were doing it. And it was bothering me because then everyone was like, oh yeah, well, Jeremy's a dreamer. He can't, do anything. He can't drive anything to finish it. And it started really bothering me. And I was like, no, I'm going to prove this dang personality trait wrong. Mm. I'm going to get freaking organized and figure out like how to be an organized brain. And it just always bothered me that we can't fall into that. And just as we were talking, here's what went through my head as you guys were talking. I'd call them like identity traps.
Mm. Yeah.
Identity traps. The things that we lock our identity on I feel like it's a coping mechanism. It's this idea of like, I got to figure out, I don't know who I am, so I've got to find the thing that I can attach to.
And sometimes it's a weakness that you have.
Yeah, so I wrote that, like the idea of like, when you make your identity about like what you do, your work, it's because you're trying to like earn value because you think you don't have value.
Yeah.
So I gotta work really hard, I have to earn value. But then other people like that like their identity is within their bad traits or their quirks.
Yeah.
It's because they're so focused on the terrible idea of who they are. That's like that's their identity. You know, how many women call themselves a B? Oh, I know I'm that way. I just can't help it.
Men, I'm an A-hole, but that's just who I am.
Yeah, and like people just like work through this like
They've accepted the negative part of their identity, of who they think they are, but of maybe something that happened in their like in their past life.
Well, that's what it really not comes past down life, to, like, right? It becomes not like
when they were a tree.
not that by past life, but like in their past. Sorry, I needed to confirm that nobody thinks that I believe in that reincarnation.
Oh. Believe it, I can't even say it.
No, but it's true though, with what you're saying, Rob. Like, it's like when you see people accept this negative, you know, person's name or whatever, like a category of what they think they are, it's usually stemmed from them having almost, sometimes it is a reputation of that. Mm-hmm. But it's, you got to go to the deeper issue as to why they are acting like that. And usually it comes down to something bad happened to them or like you have to look at them in a different lens that way and figure out, okay, something really happened in their life where people around them have seen the horrible actions they've kind of put through.
I think a lot of this has to do with people thinking that we have, and this is something that Pastor Nate and like the church has taught as well, as like people thinking that people's capacity is like once you reach the top, there's no growing beyond that. And like I think about people in workplaces or in organizations doing like the whole organizer dreamer situation. I don't know if this can apply to everything, but maybe I'll talk through it. If you're automatically an organized person, so you're an admin, you're planning things, and you say like, I can't have vision, it's not like it's extra work or it's extra capacity for you to just keep doing better in admin and stuff. Like that's what comes naturally. Mm. So if you worked to become a dreamer or to have or cast vision, that's when your capacity will grow.
Oh yeah, it's growth.
And so like, mm-hmm. I wonder if that applies to like, so like, let's say someone's like, well, you know, I am a B word. Like, could that be, what's the opposite of that? Somebody who's compassionate and kind, or I don't know, all the nice things. Like if you stopped focusing on being that and you started focusing on the opposite, you would still hold on to, I think, the good qualities of being a B word, which would be like, you're honest. Like you'd still have that honest aspect of yourself, but because you're working on being compassionate and kind, then you hold on to the good of what might be found in someone who identifies as a B word. But you'd carry on to and you'd grow your capacity.
No, that makes total sense.
To be somebody greater.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not squashing what you're naturally, God has naturally given you, which could be, you know, power. It could be authority. It could be leadership. Yeah. It could be honesty, but done in a
compassionate way.
You could do it in a better way. But they've been only doing it in a poor spirit.
Yeah.
I keep laughing. I've told Ailey this story. I have an inside joke with myself.
Nice.
It's a stupid joke that I keep making, but you kept saying they're a B word, they're a B word, and that's like what's in my joke. in Market Basket, on the way out, there's the community board. All right.
Yes.
This isn't that funny, but I'm just gonna do it and then we'll get back into identity. There was this poster for an acoustic duo called Nice and Naughty. And it was these two women playing acoustic guitar. And I just saw it and thought, what's their opening line? What's their shtick? And so it was like, hey, y'all, I'm nice and I'm naughty, the other one, right? And so then every time I walked by and saw this poster, I'd do it again. And I'd laugh a little bit. And by the end, Naughty was getting like, she was getting not appropriate. And so I was like, hey, y'all, I'm nice and I'm a bitch. And it's just like, I don't know why I'm escalating this joke, but every time I leave Market Basket, I'm laughing because I'm making up this joke.
That is just the most jovial and happy person I have ever seen.
Just walking out, just pop a coffee. Ooh, it's snakes.
It's
a man.
It's every time this guy walks by this poster.
It's just so happy. Something about it just made me laugh because I just kept thinking like, through the years of their tour, like I'm making up this whole. Anyway,
some sweet old lady's gonna come up to you and be like, "Where do you go to church? You're just so happy when you're in this store. I just know you're a Christian." And that's just not what you're laughing about in your head.
Just good jokes. The joy of the Lord.
So speaking of renewing your mind,
good. Back to it. totally off subject, but you just kept saying it and I kept laughing and I'm like, I can't move on until I tell the story.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. So I talked a little bit about the personality traits and that was a really small one, I think, for me for identity. But do you guys feel, so obviously we got this whole idea off of like a side comment you said, Marie, in another episode. I think we were talking and it was just like, write that down. She said something interesting.
For the first time ever.
Oh my gosh, take note. Marie said something interesting. That's not what I meant.
Not true.
It's like the seventh time he's come at me today.
They don't know that. We started over.
Let the record show.
Because you talked about the idea of idolizing like being a parent.
Yeah, yeah.
And talking through that. Yep. So figure to talk through, what have been, and even in your guys's testimony, you talked through some things about your identity that you worked through. Like, what have been some other identity struggles that you guys have walked through?
Shall I go? I think this is a super common one. Appearances was definitely one for me. Where, like, I feel like as soon as I realized, like, I'm finding way too much value in how people perceive me as a mother, it was like, okay, well, now I'll value how people perceive me, period. Like, as, like, when they see me. And so that created so much insecurity, because then once you start focusing on what you look like, you think everybody else is too. Yeah. You start to feel like no matter what you do.
That was Haley. your face was funny.
No matter what you do.
Backpedal.
Everyone's looking at you. Like,
yeah.
So I think for a really long time, I felt like I couldn't leave the house unless I did my hair and did my makeup and, like, not planned out an outfit, but, like, really checked, like, all the boxes of, like, making sure I was comfortable in what I was wearing, but, like, just that I wouldn't be judged poorly and that people would look at me, like, and be like,
wow, she really put her life together.
Yeah. Like, exactly like that. And I really, I think there was a time after having Johnny, we're in our apartment, so where I was just so unhappy with, like, the pregnancy weight gain. And I was like, I, this is disgusting. Like, you, like, the whole thing where I feel like people do this, where they, like, ignore the fact that their mirror exists because they don't want to see, like, what they really are. So I did that for a long time. And then one day I just, like, faced the mirror. And I was like, why do I hate myself? Like, not in, like, a shallow, like, or not, sorry, in a shallow, not in, like, a deep way. I didn't hate who I was, but I hated what I looked like. And why do I hate this? And so I just looked in the mirror and I, like, prayed. And I said, God, please show me how you see me, because I'm seeing myself in such, like, a shallow, short-minded, small-minded perspective. And it's not like he, like, instantly was like, I see you as beautiful. And, like, it doesn't matter what you wear or whatever. But it was like that started a journey for me where it was like, I have more confidence now and I honestly don't look different. So, like, I just have more confidence because I know my identity is not in what I wear, what clothing I buy. It's not in, like, at all, like, how thick my mustache is or how it's not existed.
Competition, like, much?
I'd probably win.
I miss middle school Marie. I'm just
kidding. But yeah, like, all of these things, God just revealed, like, so much more depth in the beauty of his creation, including myself. And so I no longer have to wear the burden of carrying what I look like. Like, honestly, I'm probably, like, on the poor end of the spectrum where I'm like, this is who I am. I don't care if you like it or not. So, and maybe I should work through that, but I definitely have been, I think, freed from the appearance identity.
Yeah. That is interesting. The danger of that pendulum, though. Right?
Absolutely.
Like, again, falling into, like, focused on our weakness. Like, now you roll up and you're like, I get it. I'm a hot mess express. And, like, the idea
take
of, like,
take me or leave me.
You're not even wearing shoes.
I think we do that, though, so to make leave. It's like to validate our emotions and feelings. Like, it's like when insecurities are loud, it's like that's what happens. It's like when we're insecure, they're so much louder because we're just trying to overcompensate our.
Or trying to pretend that you don't care.
Yeah. Like, it's like almost a protection. Like, where it's
There's also the level of, like, if I say it first.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I would always comment on my weight first. So it's, well, I said it first, so I know that I'm out of shape. So now everyone else, it's out there, right? Like, I know.
Now they know that I know.
Now they know that I know. And I'm not in denial. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, anyway. It's a dangerous thing to, if you finally let go of one identity, to grab the other end of the spectrum.
It's
a dangerous thing.
Well, it's kind of like what we talked about a little bit before our podcast, before we started recording, just about you know, there's a celebrity out there that really had her identity in perfection, and then it just became this huge issue on herself where she had to achieve perfection then and to constantly strive for that, and that her perfection or beauty became her identity. And that's where, like, yeah.
Which is so funny because beauty standards change
all the time.
Every year.
Yeah, it really does. But we try. That's the thing. We strive to try and find those standards. Yeah. Like, we constantly try and change our appearance, and we do this, that, and the other. And it's like, when will we get it, culture? Like, when will we get it? Like, but I think that's when you find your worth, not in what you look like, but what your heart is and who you are as a person.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of struggled with the same thing as you, Marie. Like, I know we've talked about that too, but just the identity and, you know, what I looked like and what I perceived. And like a lot of things I think came to from just like, you know, it was said in an innocent way, but growing up it was like, oh, like, why are you so beautiful? And it was like, that was a conversation that happened in my family. And I was like, oh, because God made me beautiful. And that was my response. But it was so consistent that I always felt like, I gotta keep up with beauty. And like, that's again, that what I was saying with that celebrity, she kind of fell into this to perceive this perfection. But for me, it was just like, I have to achieve this constant beauty in the family. Like, I'm a beautiful person. I'm gonna be the beauty of the family. Like, it was just this mindset, and it can get so bad because you find yourself trapped in this place of like, just never feeling content with what you look like. But that broke, my cycle broke with that, where I was like, I'm going to leave the house without makeup on, and I'm not going to give a darn. And because I remember seeing it in my home, like, oh, and in my family in generations, where you couldn't leave the house without putting your face on. Like, that was a thing. You couldn't leave the house without doing your hair. That was a thing. And I remember talking to my sister, and I think even about you, to you, Marie, about this, like, years ago in, like, high school, just about, like, how do we fix that? And it's literally breaking a pattern of that, breaking that cycle, because then once you see yourself without the makeup, that's what you look like. You, like, your perception of yourself is like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like, nothing changes. Mm-hmm. Like, and so it's just like, it's interesting that when you see yourself in a different light, you're the same person. Like, you know, and I think we just strive so hard to just fake it and look different and change. And, but that can come too. I think about where I was at too, and I always was trying to achieve the next big thing. Oh, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, and I gotta fix this, and I gotta get that, and do all these things. And I think when you hear those things are done and said in an innocent way, like, oh, Haley's gonna accomplish this before she's even 19, or she's gonna be married at this, and like, you hear all those things and you're like, okay, they're said in a great place, but really you can take that to heart and be like, I gotta do this now, because that's what my identity is.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because somebody spoke that over you.
Yes,
somebody spoke those things, and there it's something that you latched onto.
Yeah,
yeah, in an encouraging way.
In an encouraging way, which is crazy. Because it does start. That's the problem. It starts usually in encouragement. Sometimes, not always, but when it starts there, that's where roots. That's where your roots can get lost.
Because it's connected to a feeling.
Yeah, I feel like the obvious underlying issue with all the, like, the two identity issues we've spoken about is not wanting to please God, but wanting to please man.
Yeah.
And so when you hear these affirmations about you, it's like, yeah, I am really mature for my age. Like, I am going to get married at whatever age, and it's going to be a lot sooner than people expect. And yeah, like, I am a good mom, and like, all these things. And it's just like, that's not, like, God's not calling us to get married by 20. He's not calling us to be only good moms. He's not calling us to be beautiful for the sake of being beautiful. Like, but all, like, people do. People do.
Yeah.
People do want that.
That's
for you.
That's so crazy. How influenced or influential? I don't know what the word is. How easily influenced our minds as young kids are.
Yeah.
Like, think about that's when all of this stuff starts. It's through the small conversations, the little things that we say. And so now I sit here and I think about the different things that I say to my boys and my daughter. And I just think about, like, what things am I planting in their heads, and what should we be planting in their heads, right?
Yeah.
Hey, it doesn't matter specifically that about this. It matters that your eyes are on Jesus. Like, what are the things that we need to change in our speech that fix that?
I know we're pretty high. We're really hypersensitive for Eloise right now, probably because we haven't seen the quirks of Levi yet. Mm-hmm. but we're hypersensitive with of.
Yeah, he's pretty quirky.
Well, you know what I mean. Like we're not seeing where he's where his tendencies are going, where his. But with Eloise, she's a girly girl. Like she loves dressing girl stuff. She loves dressing up. She loves wearing makeup. She loves playing with all that stuff. And I always feel an urgency, and I know you do too. But like, no matter what she's doing, I'll like pause her, be like, "Hey, I just want you to know, you are just as beautiful."
Oh, yeah.
5 minutes ago before you put that makeup on. I just want you to know, you look great. You look like you did something special, but you're just as beautiful as you were 5 minutes ago. I'm trying to make her see that.
But also, you know, before, to tag on to that, we always say, you know why you're beautiful, Eloise? I said, it's what's in your heart. That's what makes a person beautiful. Yeah,
here are the things we see you do that make you beautiful.
And I always have to correct that because that was what was said over me.
That's so good.
For the longest time was like it was all external.
Yeah.
And I never put the two and two together like, okay, I'm beautiful. Yeah, God's made me beautiful, but that's just external. But why did God make me beautiful? God made me beautiful for my heart and my soul and who I am and how I honor God. That's what's beauty.
Yeah.
And so it's finding correction in that.
Right. Yeah.
Taking very strong mental note.
Evie.
Yeah. And she's like already showing girly tendencies.
Yeah.
Like when she sees pink or when she sees that like her outfit has changed.
Crazy?
It starts.
Yeah, when you call her pretty, she like kind of flushes a little bit.
Because naturally, as parents, you want to just see that flourish. Like it's just so cute because it's innocent and it's fun, but then it can change and it can shift fast and you don't even realize what age it starts at.
I think one of the shocks for us was like we had started noticing Eloise really caring about her outfits, and we don't know if maybe at school someone said like, "Oh, I don't like that outfit" or something, but all of a sudden got really hyper sensitive about it, and so we just thought like maybe we should figure an approach.
Yeah, and I think
to help that identity.
Yeah,
and I think too with that we've noticed as well is when I ask her, go pick out an outfit, find something you're comfortable in, something comfy. Like, and I don't
talk about
oh, find your favorite prettiest dress or find like nothing that categorizes its look, but its feel, like what's comfortable. Yep. And it's just a shift. It's just something small that we've
been doing. Now, she's got practical reasons too. I can't wear these when I sit my butt shows, right?
Like, these are too small, Mom. You need to buy me more clothes.
Good observation. Yeah. That's good. Be aware.
We love self-awareness for kids.
I think the hard part is like it's really obvious for that, but then trying to figure out what do you do for your boys because culture doesn't push quite the same. And I'd say maybe not fully intentional, but my approach with Levi is I don't want anything he does to be the reason why we're happy about him.
Yeah.
Like, because I feel like with guys, which we can talk about, like, what were our identity things? For me, it was what I do, how I contribute. You know, my identity is in my title. And I know, like, it's sticking with Levi really well because he'll always say, like, you're my favorite dad. You're my favorite daddy. Because I always like to say, like, hey, you're the best Levi. You're the best Levi. You're my favorite Levi. And just like, I'm not saying a single thing you do. I just want you to know you're the best Levi. Like, and I think that's just a subtle way of like, I don't want to be like, hey, yeah, you could be an astronaut. You'd be a really great astronaut. Mm. Oh man, I'd be so proud of you if you were an astronaut. Like you don't want to say anything that might make them hear that. You know what I mean? But he does. Like, we're doing our reno.
Yeah.
He picks up a mini hammer and he's doing a good job nailing these down. He's like, Am I a good worker?
Yeah.
And already he wants that validation. Like, hey, I'm doing good, right? Like, you see what I'm doing? And I just always get nervous.
Yeah. I think it's okay to like encourage that too. When it's like, yeah, you're doing something good. Like when they're doing something good that is harmless and that it is honoring, like those things can be encouraged, but it's still pausing in the moment and reflecting on like, we're not proud. We don't love you and we're not proud of you because of your actions. It's who you are.
Yeah.
And
I feel like some of that, like at least in my family, or from the things I've observed of other families, isn't necessarily from encouraging when people do good things. It's mostly getting upset when they don't do what you ask them to do.
Yeah.
So like, hey, Jeremy, can you help me pack up some boxes? Sorry, I can't. I'm busy. Well, where does that leave our relationship then?
You're like, what?
Like, I feel like, not that that was actually
a relationship was on the line life, because of those boxes.
But like, I feel like for maybe my brothers or like with their relationship with their dad, they have a different dad. Things like that happened where like if their dad asked something of one of my brothers and they were like, I can't, like doesn't work with mom's schedule, be like, all right, cool. Won't speak with you for a month. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is poor. It's common though. Like you see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rob, what about for you? Like, what do you feel like?
I think for me, a big identity situation was working from leaving high school, feeling like I was just always like the Christian kid, like very Christian kid. People looked up to me all the way through high school. And that had been my identity forever. Like I really was that. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I had a good relationship with God. Like obviously I had messed up in different ways, but I felt like I was able to hold on to that identity for a bit. And then when I hit college, something shifted. And because everybody around me was quote unquote more Christian than me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I became, there was some sort of depression over me or something where like I couldn't figure out who I was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because everybody else was better than me. Mm. And I was like, and I couldn't find my place. And so I found myself most of the time not going to social events because people were more outspoken and outgoing than I was. People were funnier than me. People were, you know, like more fun to be around, all that kind of stuff. And I felt like that was what I was in high school, but that wasn't what I was in college. Mm. And so I lost myself there, I think.
Yeah.
And then when That's I came out of college, I was very cynical of all of that stuff because I had seen people go I'd seen all types of people go through Bible college, you know, all types of people. And like, I don't know, I guess I just, focusing on myself, I just left college very, very cynical. I was still a Christian. I knew I was a Christian. I knew I had a relationship with Jesus, but I couldn't listen to a worship song without feeling like these people are faking it.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to, you know? And like all their, for some reason, chapel services and things like that just were very, I couldn't get into them unless I closed my eyes and just forgot about everybody there.
Yeah.
Like it was, I couldn't figure, some part of me was lost. But since then, having stepped into this church and kind of my identity as a husband, and understanding what God expects of me as a husband and as a father, that I feel like pointed me in the right direction and pulled me from whatever I was wallowing in and pulled me into, gave me direction to where now I find my identity. I mean, yeah, I still have struggles with it because I struggled with it with my job and because I'd always wanted to be a pastor. And for the longest time, I was a kids pastor, and I loved being a kids pastor. But there was a point where I knew I wasn't supposed to be a kids pastor anymore, and I needed to move on, but I didn't know how to move on. Mm. And so there was just a part of me that was stuck in a way. But either way, through all of that, God kind of brought me from it. Just through all of that, God taught me that my identity is found in Him, And it's not one, like we talked about through my job. I'm not a truck driver. I'm a Christian, and I drive trucks, and I tell people about Jesus while I drive trucks.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Right. And I found such beauty in the contentment of that. Mm-hmm. Right. It reminds me of Paul being in prison and not being in a truck.
Like, wow,
but the
wow.
idea, but Paul being in prison,
so
but
oppressed.
No, but Paul being in prison and being able to be like, yeah, don't worry about me. Don't cry about me being in prison.
Yeah.
all the guards are Christians now. It's cool. Yeah. like he was
like,
good.
Yeah, he like took a bad part that everyone was like worried about, and they was like focus on the good here. Yeah.
I liked his view is even better than that. He's like, if anything, it's these guards that are locked in here with me.
That's funny because I have a ride along person tomorrow who's just trying to see if he likes the job, and I'm like,
I got him.
I got this kid for 8 hours straight. He's going to know about Jesus. So that's funny. But I did that to the last kid. He didn't get in because of whatever. He didn't pass some things and couldn't make it. But either way, it was... But either way, I talked to him about Jesus. We had a conversation about church. I think he even downloaded the Bible Project app. And so like, but I mean, it's just cool stuff that's happened in that. But my identity is found in Jesus Christ. Like through all of those situations, God has focused my eyes on him and only him.
Isn't that a beautiful thing?
So beautiful.
Just to think that we as human beings strive for validation and from multiple different people in the world, different standards, different people, different positions, all these things. Yet the only person is just one God, mm-hmm. and he's the only one. What a beautiful thing that is. Not to have to worry about, have to like shift who you are constantly and morph to be somebody.
And the idea of like why do we search for it so much? Because everything is just a taste, but it never fills the peace that we're looking for. You know what I mean? Yep. For the person that created us to speak purpose into us. You know what I mean? To speak our identity into us.
And it brings us back to the whole idea that all of these things that we're finding our identities in are just distractions.
Yeah.
Every one of them is a distraction or a trap. Yeah. And all that everybody needs to do is look to Jesus. And like literally that's the center of it all. Like if you can keep your eyes on Jesus in every situation, in all these situations, put scripture in your mind. But we were even reading today that it's the living word of God. So it's not just put scripture in your mind.
Yeah. We just talked, about that too.
Oh, that's cool. It's the Freedom Circle.
Wow.
But you guys aren't doing the Freedom Circle.
No, we talked about this and it was a totally deep conversation. But
well, now I'm interested.
You had to be there.
Well, thanks for bringing us in on that. But it's the idea of it's you just fill your mind with scripture and what Jesus is calling you to do. Yeah. It's about your heart and where it's focused. And is it focused? Is there pride or selfishness, bitterness, jealousy? Are those things in there in any way? Because they need to go. Because focus on Jesus and all those things, everything that you desire, all these. You know, valuable things, finding value, finding provision or finding money or whatever it is that you need, all those things grow faintly dim when your eyes are on Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. And it fixes all of these problems, every one of them. If you can pinpoint what that heart issue is in you and then look to Jesus, he's got the answer for the heart issue every time. And that's so important.
That's the thing.
So like good.
Everything you think about, oh, why am I feeling so insecure all the time? Bible. Look to the word. What does God say about insecurity?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm so anxious all the time. Why does my anxiety, my identity? Look to the Bible. What does the Bible say about anxious-minded?
Yeah. Well, and you're building yourself on such weak foundation. Mm-hmm. If you identify in what you do for work, what happens to you when you retire?
Right.
If you identify in your beauty, what happens when you get old?
Yeah.
Like if you, all these things of like what happens and you literally have to rework your identity at each new chapter of your life. You have to keep every time you anchor it in whatever you're in or what you're doing, you have to like go into a crisis mode every time you change.
It's interesting you say that because a client of mine, we had this conversation and he's in retirement and he says, Haley, I never thought I'd be in crisis mode at my age, but I don't know what to do with myself because my identity was in my job. And I was like,
Jesus.
So do you want me to mop the floors today?
Legitimately on like.
So I noticed you're out of toilet paper. Do you want me?
Oh my gosh.
Just talking to a Home Depot guy.
Excuse me, it's a Walmart. Like, I was just wondering when the garden center opened.
Oh
No, yeah.
I'm sorry.
I remember too, Pastor Nate, our pastor, talking through with like an Assemblies of God pastor. They were talking about someone retiring, and he was like, "Man, it's gonna be a real hard time figuring out when people don't call me pastor anymore." And I'm pretty sure Pastor Nate had a hard time, like he couldn't hold himself and just was like, "What? You're a child of God. Like, you're not pastor first and child of God second." Like, and this pastor was having to already wrestle through the idea because like another pastor was retiring. Mm-hmm. And it shook something in. I'm like, what the heck is going to happen in my life when I don't have that title anymore? Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's a weak foundation, right? It's a weak foundation.
It's like there was a podcast I listened to about this older woman. She was, I think, in her 80s. It was Talking Church podcast you shared, that old woman. It was the host's grandmother, and she was talking about her life and her age of retirement, really. Like, she's well past retirement. Like, she's just hanging out at that point.
She's ready for the Lord.
But she was saying, like, a lot of her mindset.
Just barely hear her breathe. I'm just kidding. She wasn't that close. She was not that close to death.
She was not. She was so comprehensive. Anyways, she was just talking about like not saying no to things in life and really just like that point. I know we're talking about retirement right now, but it's just kind of a really inspiring place to be where you're at that point and you're just not in your house watching TV until you go to bed. Like you're out doing stuff. You're out like enjoying God's creation. Like you're spending time with your great grandchildren, your grandchildren, and you're investing in their hearts and their souls and people around you and talking to young people just starting off. Like there's so much you can do at that age because you're filled with so much wisdom that I would hate for that to be a place of almost like feeling burdened by retirement. Like I want retirement to be, if we ever retire, be a place of like, okay, God, what? I'm gonna go off with a bang. Like, you know what I mean? I wanna do so much in these years. Like, I don't wanna be just a homebody and stuck in my house. I'm gonna do what I can. But anyways.
Yeah, I think that's so good. I think I think just that point for people to think through. I love that we're wrapping up a podcast, but Haley needs to walk away from the mic to take a snack.
It's really good.
That idea, I feel like, should be something, if you're listening, that you should start working through. Like, to take out a notebook and think through, what are the things that you feel gives you purpose? What are the identity issues? And trying to figure out, is there a transition in that? Is there a transitional point in that? If it is, you need to figure out the replacement. Or is there a moment where that's going to have to change in a way? And I feel like I'm trying to cycle through what the world might have or what even we as just a culture have. I can't think of anything that doesn't apply to. Even horoscopes, been around for forever. You still have to read your horoscope to see you still have to wait to read something about if you're having a good or a bad day or a bad week. Like, you have to find something. And there's almost nothing that I can think of that doesn't have transition in it or doesn't have a shift, aside from you were created by God, you're loved by Him, and he wants you in a place where you will not have any transitions anymore. A transition through age,
find
a transition through
in the life He's given you.
Yeah, well, and in the eternal life that He's given you, to where it's like we got our identity in Him leaves us with one transition. And then eternity with none. And just, we know who we are. You know, this idea, like, I can't think of a thing here that offers that. And I think that's why we're so lost in what we're searching for. So
I think it's because another big thing about this whole, like, identity issue is that it's, like, the big thing. You only live one life. Like, do everything you can to make yourself happy. Find fulfillment in this. Do this. Be that. Be this person. All these things. But in reality, this is not a reality. Like, perspective change here. Yeah. Like, this is such a small glimpse of our eternity.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. No, I'm good. I can close it off. I just want to read Psalm 23.
Close it off.
Oh.
So it just because it kind of walks you through the ups and the downs and where your eyes are focused.
Yeah.
So I want to read that when you're done. You have something to
say. I was just going to say that's so interesting because you're talking about transitions as if they are bad, but I think that the world thinks that they're good. Mm. So like for people in my age group, actually probably like until I feel like you reach 30, people are like, you have 10 years to figure out who you are. Do everything that you can to figure out who you are. Do whatever.
Yeah.
Sleep with whoever. Mm-hmm. Visit every country if you can. Like, do any hobby. Like, spend whatever money, like, to figure out who you are. And it's like, that means so many transitions. Mm-hmm. Like, that means, I don't know, like, just all
zero
these things.
Zero stability.
Yeah. That, and it means, like, zero responsibility. And, like, I don't know. I just think it's interesting for like, I mean, I don't think all transitions are bad, but as far as like where transitioning from one identity to the other, unless you're transitioning from a worldly identity to a Christ-like identity, they are bad.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that's interesting because if you're listening and you're not a Christian, you might be thinking like, well, what's so bad about finding who I am? And like what our argument is, we know who we are because of who somebody else is, not because of what I can figure out.
Whatever you find, that's going away.
Yeah.
Whatever you find, that's going away eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then you're just going to be right back where you are right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you're just going to be right back at it. Yeah. And so you need something.
And there's one thing that never changes.
Yeah. And then I think, like, if I weren't a Christian, I'd be like thinking, it's so simple for us to be like, look to Christ. But like to people who don't know him, it's like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What do I do?
Right.
And like, for me to answer that question, just be like, just try it. Like it, you can't, it's like almost like when someone looks at a home and they're like, oh my gosh, how did that get built? Mm-hmm. I could never do that. But like, if you just applied yourself, if you were super interested in it, if you just applied, you started opening up books or researching, like you would figure it out. You would find the answer.
Yes.
And like Christ, God, the Trinity makes himself so available and so open. And like he's given us the living word. And it's the Bible is honestly the easiest way that you can find Christ.
Yeah,
absolutely. And and I would encourage anybody that's on that edge of, you know, how do I even do that? Give it the chance of just saying out loud to God.
Yeah.
Hey, would you show me who you are? Mm. Would you help me to understand who you are? Mm. And then pick up the Bible and start reading through John. Start reading whatever one of those like Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Start reading about who Jesus.
Don't start numbers. Do that.
You'll see why. John's a good place to start. But start reading about who Jesus is because he's the focal point of all history. He's the focal point of this entire conversation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's the one that changes people's lives. Mm-hmm. And he's real and he's literally alive today. And that's
literally
alive today. But he's with us every second. And so, I mean, even just right now, you guys good to close it off with Psalm 23?
Can you read it like you're doing the street light?
Yo, no. The Lord is my shepherd.
He's not going to be able to get out of it now. I'm just kidding.
What are you talking about? You talking to me? No, so it's Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for in his wonderful face and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. love is gone.